Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Brent Henderson, and remember, we are the resistance. Well, we are, what is today? This would be January the 12th. I had to look real close on my computer there to see where we were. Man, it's just hard to believe. We're not even a full month into winter yet. I'm ready. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for turkey hunting. I'm ready for warmer weather. But gosh, when I grew up as a kid, I loved the outdoors. I loved getting on my sled and, you know, coming back in the house soaking wet after being sweaty and going down the hill for hours. And then I would come in and just kind of get on this register. We had a floor register. Mom would give me some hot chocolate, and I'd sit on that thing for about 30 minutes to warm up. I loved it back then. But now, you know what? I mean, unless it's a weird snow in the middle of the rut or something like that, I don't even want to be in the stuff. But this weekend, we had a chance to go down to the ATA show, which was really great. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But before that, I want to tell you about an event coming up where I'll be speaking in February. It's the weekend of February 19th to the 21st. It's called the Midwest Sportsman's Classic, and it will be in Shipshawana, Indiana. And I'll be speaking twice there for their survival series. As you can hear, I've still got a cold, so I'm surviving that, so forgive me. But 2 years ago, they had, they had a grizzly bear attack survivor speak, and they also had Brian Dickinson, who was the author of Blind Descent, and he spoke about his experience on Mount Everest. So it's going to be a great show, so come ready to be on the edge of your seat, and get ready to meet a lot of great people and to see a lot of great outdoor products. This past weekend, we were at the ATA show in Indianapolis. I was with my beautiful wife, Stacy. This is the first time she had a chance to walk around this show. We had a chance to spend some great time with the Whitetail World Champion this year, Kyle Birch. He's become a really good friend, one of the neatest, humblest men you'll ever meet, and he is an amazing hunter. That's why he won this championship. We also got to hang out with Terry Peer from Chasing Giants and some of my other sponsors like Grim Reaper Broadheads and Bear Archery. And I finally got a chance to try on some Osseo camo. I have been watching this on the Chasing Giants podcast for quite a while. Man, it is UV dead. It is soft. It is warm. It is quiet. I can't wait to get a set of my own. It's UV dead, which is one of my main things, because that way you're not glowing when you're in your tree stand. Because as most of us understand, whitetails, they don't have a UV filter in their eye. They can spot the UV glowing in your garment on the count of one. So if you're not UV dead, you really need to make sure that you're either getting, there's a product by Atsco, it's called UV Killer or Zero UV, as they changed it to the new name, or buy camouflage that's already UV dead. You know, the thing I love about these shows, especially this show, is I get to talk to so many guys that love hunting, and they love God, and they love talking about God. These are some of my brothers that I've known for over 20 years. I spent a lot of time in the woods with some of these guys, and they're a part of the resistance, as I talk about, who are a light to the industry where so many men need to know about Jesus Christ. So that raises an important question right away. When I talk about the resistance, you know, what are we resisting? Well, we're resisting the power of darkness, not just darkness out there, but the kind that quietly works its way into our hearts, you know, into our thinking, into our reactions, until it begins shaping who we are. And that's what today's episode is about. And I'm calling this When Disagreement Becomes a Trap. And I guess if I had a subtitle, I'd call it something like, you know, How to Spot the Landmines Before You Step on Them. And many of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want to share something that happened this week. You know, not because it was dramatic, but because it was incredibly revealing. I had a private conversation with someone who was hurting deeply. Their family had been fractured by politics. Relationships that they never imagined losing were gone. I understand this totally. And these people were grieving. They didn't know what to do with that kind of grief, you know, carrying that kind of weight. And I wasn't trying to fix anything. I wasn't trying to take a side. I was trying to speak hope into their tired hearts. And that conversation that I had that morning, I think this was Friday, it led me to write a short post. And it wasn't written as an argument. I wrote it as to be an encouragement to those who are struggling with many of the same things. And before I go any further, I want to read exactly what I wrote. And it's not to defend it, but because it sets up the lesson that I want to talk about today. So let me go ahead and read the full original post that I had put up. It says, "What you look for determines what you live in. Right now I see people consumed by political upheaval, fixated on either side, one issue, one outrage, one day after another after another. They stare at what's broken, what's wrong, what angers them, and they never lift their eyes long enough to see what's still good. And because of that, they don't just argue about darkness, they live in it. What you fix your eyes on begins to shape your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, and eventually your identity. And before long, you become a prisoner to the very thing you refuse to stop staring at. If you choose to live in your anger, soon darkness is all you will know and see. A mirror reflects light. When you look in the mirror, is that what you see? Don't be the one who leads others into the shadows. Focus on the light, and you'll become a light that helps others find their way out of this present darkness." So let me kind of tell you what happened next, and I'll try to keep it clear, keep it simple. If you've never seen anything online around this, let me explain why I'm talking about it. Because after that was posted, a response came that didn't ask what I meant. It wasn't seeking clarification. Instead, the encouragement that I was offering, and this person decided to reframe the post. You know, a call to lift our eyes toward light was interpreted as ignoring injustice. I'm not sure how they got that out of it. It was very clear. And a warning about living in outrage was recast as moral blindness. That's what they were saying that I was. And that's when I realized something important. This wasn't about my post anymore. It was about how easily our filters determine what we hear. And what struck me wasn't the disagreement. That's fine. But it was the shift. The conversation moved from what was being said to who I supposedly was. So instead of, "I hear what you're saying, but I see it differently," it became, "This is who you are. This is what you always do. And this is what you're blind to." You know, a reflection about guarding our hearts was reframed as moral failure. An encouragement to lift our eyes was interpreted as ignoring suffering. And once a conversation moves there, once disagreement turns into character assignment or assassination, all dialogue, you know, it comes to a screeching halt. Because that's not disagreement, that's diagnosis. So let me explain what I mean by that, because it really matters. You know, disagreement sounds like this: "I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it the same way." Diagnosis sounds like this: "Here's who you are, here's what you're blind to, here's what you always do, and here's why you're the problem." One engages your words, but the other assigns your motives. One leaves room for dialogue, and the other goes ahead and just closes the case. Let me give you an example. If I say, "I'm concerned about how anger is shaping us," disagreement says, "I think anger is necessary right now, and here's why." That's fine. Diagnosis, though, says this: "You're just someone who avoids hard truths. You always prioritize comfort over justice." You see the difference? One responds to the idea. The other tries to define the person. Once someone diagnoses you, there's nothing left to discuss. And clarification becomes defensiveness. You know, any boundary becomes, "Well, there's proof." Or any silence becomes, "Yep, there's your guilt." And at that point, the conversation is, it's not about truth anymore. Now listen, it's about control. There's something else happening in moments like that that we need to name. Because if you don't recognize it, you'll step right into it. Sometimes a conversation isn't really a conversation at all. It's a trap. And here's how you know. You're not being asked questions to understand you. You're being nudged towards statements that will later be asked or be used against you. And no matter how you answer, you lose. So if you clarify, you're being defensive. If you disagree, well, you're exposed. If you set a boundary, you're just proving their point. That's not dialogue. That's a setup. Think of it like I always used to call it stepping on landmines. You're invited to keep walking, but every step forward is designed to explode something. Maybe it's your character, your credibility, or maybe it's your peace. Well, here's what that looks like in real life. Let's say someone says, you know, help me understand your heart. But the moment you explain it, they respond, see, that right there proves what I've been saying about you. The question wasn't an invitation. It was bait. So, you know, Jesus talks about these traps in Scripture. And this is exactly what people tried to do with Jesus. Over and over again, the Pharisees asked him lots of questions. And these questions weren't designed to learn, but to trap him. These were landmines. They would say things like, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You know, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And no matter how you answered, they already had planned to accuse him. They knew what they were going to do. This wasn't dialogue. And you know what Jesus did? You know, sometimes he answered with wisdom. And here's the thing. And sometimes he didn't answer at all. He walked away. Not because the Son of God was afraid, but because he refused to let a trap dictate his mission. Wisdom doesn't keep stepping forward just to prove it's brave or that it's right. And so I made a little clarifying section on the post for maybe those people who are watching it that were trying to maybe understand why this person had kind of changed what I was saying into something totally different. So I went ahead and I clarified it publicly just one time. And I want to say this clearly. I clarified not because I owed any explanation. There was no confusion about what I was saying. But because I care about the hearts of those who are listening to this conversation. Clarity was for the many. But my silence that I eventually went to was for the one. Jesus warned us not to cast what's sacred into places where it will only be trampled, not as an insult, but as stewardship. Listen, boundaries aren't unloving. Boundaries are designed to protect what matters. And remember this, you can't draw a boundary around someone else. The only one you can draw the boundary for is for yourself. So before you keep engaging, ask yourself, is this person really open to understanding, or have they already decided? Do my words get received or kind of reloaded? You know, is clarity producing peace or just more accusation? And what is this costing my peace? You know, my family, because I get distracted by this. What about my calling? What does it do to those who are watching closely to the ministry? And you begin to weigh all these things. Do I respond? Do I not respond? How do I do this? But here's the thing. If every answer tightens the noose, it's time to stop pulling. Hear that again. If every answer tightens the noose, they have an agenda. They're trying to get you to step on the landmine. It's time to stop pulling. Stop pulling that noose. Don't tighten it anymore. You don't do this in anger. It's not in pride, but you do it for peace's sake. So the call about what I said about resisting, this is what we resist. We resist letting outrage disciple us. We resist staring at darkness so long that it's all we can see. We resist becoming mirrors of the very thing that we oppose. You know, Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Light doesn't shout. It doesn't scramble for control. It simply shines. It is all-consuming. So when you think about everything that I was talking about, maybe you've walked into some of these things before where someone's had an agenda. No matter how you try to frame it, your heart might be right. They're seeing it through a different lens for whatever reason. Now, it's great to have empathy, trying to understand what they are saying. But the question becomes, for how long do I do that? You have to be so careful not, like I said, to tighten the noose, to step on these landmines, but to really see if they care enough to engage about the conversation, to have that back and forth, that tension is healthy because it will help you move forward getting to the truth. But when a person has an agenda, doesn't want to hear what you have to say, and all they do is come back with you with criticism, ridicule, character assassination, be careful not to step on that landmine. Maybe some of you have had this happen on social media. You know, what does the Bible say about this? Would it be the right thing just to go after somebody on their post? Well, what does the Bible say? It says, first of all, you go to them. You know, taking something to the social platform in front of everyone doesn't line up with that. Then it says you go with a witness. Then it says you take it before the church. And at that point, you treat them as a pagan and tax collector. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you guilt, shame, shun, judge them. It means you begin again because they didn't see their need for either repentance or whatever it was. But beware. When a person has that kind of agenda and walk into it immediately attacking you, that's a landmine. And it's okay to set your boundaries. You know, it might not have to be set for very long. The dialogue from your silence might create some great conversation. They might have a chance to look at what they've said and allow the dust to settle and go, you know what? Yeah, I kind of did have an agenda here. Silence is not a bad thing. Silence many times can be a sign of real strength. Well, guys, let's take this to Father God, because these are issues that we've all dealt with. It could be something with our children's, you know, view of us or how they might treat us or say something to us. It could be the people that we work with. It could be our friends. But we really do need to be able to lay this down before God. So, Father, show us where anger has become a lens instead of a tool. You know, where outrage has replaced wisdom. You know, where darkness has demanded more attention than light. Teach us how to pursue justice without losing humility. How to walk in truth without hardening our hearts. Father, renew our minds, guard our hearts. Make us men who shine your light in this present darkness. I ask that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, guys, you know, the post, when I put it up, I'll be gut level honest with you. It really rattled me at first because, you know, this was someone that I knew, cared about. So it kind of caught me off guard. Who knows what was going on with their day, what maybe had stirred the pot that they were seeing their lens through, whatever was going on. So I do want to extend mercy, grace, understanding, but I also want us to learn how to be able to see the landmines when they're coming and not step on them. You know, there was one man who was the president and founder of a huge Christian ministry, and I didn't say a word to him. He just posted, and he talked about the post itself, and he talked about the response. And what he had to say was so rock solid, so kind, but yet calling out the darkness, that it just kind of made me sit back and look at it and go, you know what, Brent, you might think you need to clarify the narrative here from what you originally meant, but those who have eyes to see will see. Those who have ears to hear will hear. This is God's. Well, guys, if this podcast has been something that has meant something to you, you know, share it, give us a like, subscribe, you know, send this to someone who really needs to hear this. Maybe you know is dealing with this right now. And remember that whenever these things come after us, that we are resisting, the darkness that we are resisting, you have what it takes. You don't always have to react or act in a quick way. You can step back, look at it, look for where the enemy is trying to get his foot in the door, come up with the right plan. Sometimes what we do quickly is never the right thing. Ask the Holy Spirit into the situation and allow Him to guide and direct your words, your heart, your thoughts, and your actions. And remember this, that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good. Because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.